Welcome to the Wheel With It podcast with your host, Devin. At Wheel With It, we are dedicated to exploring DEI issues in a fair, balanced, and fun way. Let's get into the episode.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Wheel With It. Today, we have Brianne Buchamp with us today. Yay, got it right. How are you today, Brianne?
I'm good. I'm doing really good. How are you?
Good. So tell us about yourself and then we'll go from there.
Oh boy. Okay. So I'm 24 years old. I'm born and raised in Arizona. I went to college at Arizona State. I have my degree in special and elementary education. So that's my background in inclusion. Comes from more of the education side of things. I was very involved in Special Olympics in high school. I was actually the youth, I forgot what the term was, but like the youth leader for my high
school. Yeah, ambassador or something.
Yeah. I was the youth ambassador for my high school for a couple of years. And then when I got to college, I focused my degree in that. And then I also worked as the inclusive recreation manager for Arizona State for a while. So a lot of sports, inclusion in sports and fitness and wellness. And then I graduated. I moved out here to Virginia, and now I'm teaching yoga. And yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
So how did you get into yoga?
Yoga for me started in college as a way to de-stress. I would always go to restorative yoga Tuesdays and Thursday nights with two of my best friends from college. And it was like the 2 hours of the week that I didn't have to worry about anything. And I just loved it. And I ended up learning, my teacher from that class introduced to us that yoga is way more than just a physical practice. So that kind of piqued my interest of, oh, there's more to this than just the poses. And then when I was about to graduate college and was about to move out here to Virginia, my husband was like, you should try to look into getting your yoga teacher training, even if you don't want to teach, just to learn more about it. He was like, it's one of your favorite things. Might as well learn more. So I did my training online through a woman who's based in Canada, and my whole training was trauma-informed. And I really searched out a training that was going to be trauma-informed and inclusive, because that's like where my passion comes from all the way from high school. So I was like, if I'm going to be doing yoga, I want to learn about how to merge those two passions together. And here we are. That was a couple of years ago. So I've only been teaching yoga for about a year from since when I graduated. But yeah.
So have you worked with people like in wheelchairs or
in yoga?
Yeah.
Not yet in yoga. My studio has chair yoga. They've done a few events, but that it was a previous teacher who she's moved away now. And I believe that I'm going to be taking that over in the future. But in college, we did a lot of blindfolded yoga because we had a huge population of people who were vision impaired or blind. So we did some yoga classes for them where everyone was blindfolded. So we were all on the same level, and that was really fun.
How was that experience? Because I would imagine if you're not vision impaired, like that would be like,
yeah,
out of body almost.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, I guess I would say if you've never really practiced yoga before, it's very strange because it's strange and it makes you feel a little self-conscious, but at the same time, you're not self-conscious because you're like, no one else can see me. No one else is looking at me. So I don't have to worry about that. So it takes that, like your ego out of it, and you can really just focus on how things feel, which is what I believe yoga should be about, is how it feels internally. So it forces you to do that. It's really interesting.
Yeah. That's a way to get over your self-consciousness. Like, yeah. No one can see me. We're all blindfolded. Exactly.
Yeah. We're all blindfolded. And if we're not, then they just can't see anyways. So no one's looking at you or making fun of you or anything.
That's what I'm going to do. Pretend everybody's blindfolded. Yeah. I'm going to get nervous about something.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you like best about the yoga experience and whatever?
I
don't know what to call it. Do I call it an experience? What?
The yoga experience, the yoga lifestyle, I think that's my favorite part for me and for me to share with people, is that it's a whole lifestyle. Because I got into it thinking it was just a physical practice, like just a way to work out or a way to de-stress. But then when I did my training, I learned that it really is a whole lifestyle. There's a whole like ethical code and rules. But it's very interesting because the very first moral rule that you're supposed to follow as someone who practices yoga is called ahimsa, which translates to non-harming. And that obviously means don't physically hurt people or yourself, but that also means like mentally, with your words, with your thoughts, your actions, everything you do, you're supposed to live your life in a way that is the least harmful towards other people, towards yourself, towards animals, to nature. So that's my favorite part, is sharing that with people. Yoga is way more than a physical practice. So if the physical stuff doesn't interest you, then, you know, there's a whole lifestyle on how to live.
See, I always like was intimidated by yoga because I'm like, I can't do all those poses. What the heck? And then I got into Danielle Stern's classes. She was, for those of you who don't know, she was one of my favorite college professors. And that's how I heard about you, is she DM'd me and she was like, you have got to have this woman on your podcast. And she was big into yoga. She teaches yoga on the side. And she took us through like breathing exercises. And that was what really... Yeah. Turned me on to the spiritual side of yoga. Obviously, she couldn't get too spiritual because it was like a public school. That was what really turned me on to the spiritual side of things. And the ahimsa reminds me of a story. I was in senior sem with her, and she probably doesn't even remember this, but I will never forget it. A bug had gotten in the classroom somehow, because this is the South, we have bugs. If you open a door for more than a minute, they will crawl in, and with all the students coming in and out. So a bug had somehow got into the classroom, and she tried to pick up the bug and put it back out into, because the door to the outside was like right by our classroom. It was like literally 5 steps. So she tried to, she was picking it up, trying to put it back outside, and one of the students was like, you could just squish it. It's just a bug. And she was like, I think it's better that we put it in our natural, in its natural habitat. I'm like, this woman would not literally hurt a bug. Okay. Yeah. So now I know. Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly. I do the same exact thing and people make fun of me. I actually just went out to dinner with my husband and my boss at the yoga studio. We had the whole company dinner a couple weeks ago. And when we walked inside the restaurant, there was a beetle running around on the floor. And someone went to go smash it, but I was like, wait, I trapped him. I took it outside and everyone was making fun of me. But I was like, we're yoga teachers. This is what we're, ahimsa. We're not supposed to harm this. Even just this little beetle that can be annoying and a nuisance, it steals life. You can still take it outside and let it do its thing.
Yeah. And I had never seen anybody do that before, because I would have squished the bug.
Yeah.
Especially if it was a cockroach, but like I would have squished the bug. And I don't know what kind of bug it was, but especially if it was a cockroach, I would have squished the bug. And she was like, I think we better let it get in its natural habitat. This cracked me up.
I love her. She's so sweet. I can definitely see Danielle doing that.
She is. Yeah.
She's the best.
So what's your favorite thing about yoga, other than the, what we just talked about?
Like spiritual practice. I, besides sharing the spiritual practice and just teaching in general, I like the fact that you can do it truly anywhere. You can practice physically the poses anywhere, but even,
yeah, and even the spiritual stuff, like you can do anywhere. Like it's,
yeah.
You know, Can you tell us how yoga has influenced you spiritually?
Yeah. So I was raised Christian, and yeah, all through high school into college. But then when I got to college, I had a negative experience with a church that I went to. Nothing really horrible personally, but there were some red flags that maybe this is more of a cult and not like an actual legit church.
Yeah, kind of cultish. Yeah.
This one in particular, when you Googled the church, it even had like multiple accusations of that from other people. So it wasn't just me. So yeah, I had a very negative experience with that in college. And then that's when I started doing yoga more. And then when I learned about the spiritual side of it, that kind of gave me that connection back to God, because I personally believe in God. So that gave me that connection back in a personal way, in a way that I didn't have to, because I felt this sense of guilt of, oh, I'm no longer going to church. I'm not in a Christian.
Me too. I've been a Christian since sixth grade because my aide in the sixth through 12th grade was a pastor's wife, and I spent all day with her. So yeah. I joke that I was raised Christian since sixth grade, and I love her to death. She could talk to animals, but
Yeah,
she's so nice that there are a few people on this earth that can talk to animals. And I think she's one of them, but yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I had that negative experience, and then I found this way to practice and connect to God on my own. And it didn't make me feel guilty for missing out on going to church, and it gave me this whole other community of people. And then it was also, I just loved learning about it because I was like, I wish more people knew about the spiritual practices of yoga and how it's not a religion, but you can pair it with religion if you want to. Because I feel like nowadays so many churches have so many boundaries, not just like religiously and spiritually, like for me and that negative experience that I had, but also physically. Like there's a lot of churches that I went to that someone who uses a wheelchair physically would not be able to get inside the church. So just stuff like that, where I'm like, there's so many boundaries and things getting in the way that I wish more people had these resources, specifically through yoga, to connect them to God if they believe in God. So that way they don't have to feel guilty about not being able to go or not feeling comfortable going to a church. Oh, I think you're muted.
Oh, sorry. I muted because I had to fix my chair. So I didn't want to do an interview with the audio. And then I started talking and then it was like, you're muted. Okay. Honestly, I stopped going to church in person as regularly because one, COVID spoiled me. I'm like, you can do church from your pajamas. This is amazing. Yeah. And then I had just some stuff that went on, not with the church, they were great, but just some stuff that went on with me personally, where I didn't feel quite as comfortable going back. That's all my fault. I should have gone back, but I didn't feel quite as comfortable going back. So yeah, it was an interesting experience to have gone in person almost every Sunday and then
nothing.
Yeah, like I had an online church. I have a church that's all online, so that's good. But like to go in person every Sunday and then nothing, it's like weird. Yeah. So
yeah, it definitely is a whole like lifestyle. You feel like you lose a sense of identity almost, because for so long, I was raised Christian. I was raised going to church. So for so long after I had that like cult experience, I stopped going to church just like completely for a long time. And I did feel like I had a lost sense of identity and had to figure out myself again outside of the church. And that's what yoga ended up doing to me, was gave me the tools to connect to myself, to figure out who I am outside of church, and then later on down the road, who I am in my own spirituality and my own relationship with God, again, outside of a church. And it was just a really reassuring feeling to be like, I can go, I can move anywhere, I can be anywhere in the whole entire world, but still know who I am at my core and know who I am in the eyes of God and blah, 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 and feel confident in that and not have to be in a church setting to have that.
Anything exciting yoga related that you would like to tell us about?
Yeah, let's see. I teach a couple days a week, but I have a Props 101 class, a little workshop coming up. Let me find the date for that. I have a workshop coming up in September called Props 101, September 20th. So if you're in the Norfolk, Virginia Beach area, it'll be at Sky's the Limit Yoga Co. in Norfolk, Props 101 on September 20th. I'm just going to go through the most common props that we have in yoga and how we can use them in classes and how I'm trying to shift that mindset of, oh, a prop means that I'm not as good at this compared to, let's see how we can use this to actually become better and deepen our practice. So it's just shifting that mindset.
Which is so like your wife too, because I feel like there's a stigma of, oh, if you have to use like an assistive device, you can't really do it. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I'm sure. Yeah. That same exact mindset of just because you're using something to help you doesn't mean that you're not as good or not as valuable. You can still do it. It might actually be a cooler experience for you to have that. So,
yes. So what is the importance of like accessible yoga to you anyways?
To me, I feel like accessibility is just, it should be the basis for everything. Cause again,
it should be.
I just have always felt like if not everybody can be included in this, then what is even the point?
I am a Survivor super fan, and they recently had two people with disabilities. And mind you, the premise of the show is, of course, they weren't in wheelchairs and anything, but they had disabilities. And mind you, the premise of the show is they literally all but starve you to death on an island and make you go to the bathroom in an ocean and vote each other out. I'm like, if they can do it there, everybody can do it. Okay. Right. Like, they would have the excuse not to do it and be totally fine. And I'm saying that. But they try to do it because they genuinely want to. And nobody here does it because they don't want to.
I think that's what it comes down to as well, is just people. It's, oh, that would cost too much money. That would be too difficult to go out of our way to do this. But it's like, I always think too about how out of all quote unquote minority groups that we have, people with disabilities, that's one group that anybody can become at any given time. Every other minority group, I can never become African-American. I guess I could change my gender, but I identify as a woman. So I'm going to stay as a woman, but it's like, you can't change anything else. Really. You can't change your race, but the disability group is something that can happen to you at any given time. And no one will be able to tell when it's going to happen. I could leave my house and go to work in a couple hours and get in a car wreck and be paralyzed forever. You just never know what's going to happen. So I always tell people, you might not care about accessibility now, but it really is
will when you're the one that needs it.
Exactly. And I wish it didn't come down to that. I wish people would just care out of the genuine empathy of their hearts, but I really feel like big changes as far as inclusion and accessibility isn't going to happen until it happens to you, until it applies to you directly, unfortunately.
And the not having enough money excuse is so stupid, because you'd make a lot more money if everybody could use your stuff. Look at Apple. I mean, one of their core values is accessibility. And who's one of the richest companies on the planet? Is Apple. And so I'm like, okay, you say it And small businesses, I get it. Like, they don't have an infinite amount of money. But these big corporations say, oh, it costs too much money. I'm like, you would get a lot more customers if you just pay the money up front, yeah, did everything.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. 100%. It would open up a whole new population of people that, not even just disabled people, but their friends, their family, like, you would get so many more customers and loyal customers at that too. Cause I feel like people with disabilities and their allies are so loyal to the cause and so passionate about it that if businesses took it seriously, you would have an undying customer forever.
Yes. And the businesses that do take it seriously, I stay loyal to. I'm like, yes, there's this one company that designs shoes specifically to go over braces that are stylish. And I'm like, I will not order them from Amazon. I will order them direct from manufacturer because they, yeah, make more money. And I'm like, right, if I do that. And I'm like, so.
Yeah. 100%.
Anything else that you would want to add before we get off here?
I would just want to add that I hope people take away from this that yoga is truly for everybody. And if it's an intimidating space for you currently, I would suggest Googling videos, going on YouTube, and just experimenting with the poses or looking up breath work or guided meditations. Or even just looking into the history and the philosophy of the yogic lifestyle and just seeing where that takes you. If it's intimidating to go into a studio where they might be doing crazy poses, just starting with your own little research at home. And if it's interesting to you, you can reach out to me, you can reach out to Devin, whoever, and we can get you connected and hopefully get you into some.
Yeah, I haven't been to yoga class in a while. Like, over a year or two, because it was at 8 a.m. on Zoom, but still 8 a.m. I'm like, oh my Lord. So I had to get up at 7:30. I'm like, no, I'm not getting up at 7:30, but I have to go back in because I need to get more flexible. So
yeah, even just practicing like once a week, just a little stretches here and there, just taking a moment every single day to connect to your breath, take a few deep breaths and actually notice how you feel. That's yoga. So
yeah, yoga is what I've been learning in counseling. Where can people follow you on social media?
So I have a yoga Instagram called blacksheep_yoga. If you look me up on the gram, blacksheep_yoga, you should be able to find me.
And thank you so much for joining us today. This was so much fun. I don't get to talk to people my own age much on here. So this was so much fun. So thank you so much for being here. And we will see you guys next episode. Bye, guys.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to follow the show and our guests on social media and subscribe to the show on YouTube or in your favorite podcast app using the links in the show notes. If you're listening on the podcast app, please remember to rate and review us. See you next time.